We need to hear the gospel message. Really, we need to hear it again and again and again, to the point where it finally permeates into our being. It cultivates in our mind and soul. It changes the character of who we are. And this is the gospel message. Jesus Christ came, suffered, crucified, and died, rose from the dead, that we may be forgiven and have life. Let me repeat it. Jesus suffered and died and rose from the dead, that we may be forgiven and have new life. This is the gospel message. This is the critical point in our faith, where if we cultivate this well, we live with that new life. But there are challenges, and we experience them today in our readings. In the letter of St. James, he warns us about divisions. Now, divisions have a good point and they have a bad point. But nevertheless, if we're not careful with them, we make a lot of false divisions in the world, and we divide things for the sake of our own well-being. Some of the good divisions are like country lines. By having country lines, we know who we are. We establish our identity. I am an American. I am from the United States. I am not French. I am not English. I am not Mexican. This is a status of who I am. The problem is, when we make distinctions like this, we usually use them as a way of making animosity with other people. Since I am not French, I can do what I want to them. Since I am not Mexican, I can do whatever I want to them as well. And so, as St. James warns us, these divisions lead to evil thoughts. The challenge is, we have to keep our rightful relationships, but also make sure we know that we are in relationship. We have people around us that are also very important. Now, the challenge for us will be this. God does make distinctions, and these distinctions are very important to us because they tell us what God's will is. Like, for instance, he doesn't just say, "Everyone's with me." That's not exactly what he does. He makes people join the flock. He says there are Christians and there are non-Christians. He says that there are people he comes to that we don't realize. For example, in today's gospel, where is Jesus at? He's in the district of Decapolis. Now, Decapolis was these 10 cities on the eastern shorefront of the Jordan River that were of Roman rule. They're not Israeli. Tyre, Sidon, not Israeli. They're actually Philistine and Aramean. He's nowhere near Israel. He's in the northern chunk heading east down the eastern front of the Jordan River. That's kind of surprising. But this shows something about the nature of Jesus' ministry. He didn't come just for the Israeli people. He came for everyone. And that's something that's so uncomfortable to the Jews and sometimes uncomfortable to us, to realize he goes to all people. Now, the same thing works for us. In the church, there are lots of divisiveness and divisions. We're probably familiar with chunks of it. It's not hard to find that. But that's not where I want to focus. I don't want to focus on our ideological problems or our theological problems. I want to bring this down to a very practical level. Because sometimes we forget this point. All those who are baptized are welcome in the church. They are members of the church. They are part of the church. I can't tell you how many stories I know of people who felt unwelcomed or were cast aside by someone and left the church for that reason. But that's not the point. We're all here. We're all supposed to be here. And to show you what I also mean by divisiveness, let's say you're walking down the street and you see a person. What's the first reaction? Oh, look, there's a person. Right? We may kind of dismiss them or whatnot, but if we're true about the gospel message that Jesus came to bring new life to all people, and we've let ourselves be cultivated by that message, seeing that person is not so much as, oh, look, there's a person, but hey, that person could become part of the fold of Christ. That person could become part of the church. And now our minds are shifted. What could it be? What could I do to help that person experience the truth of the gospel? This is when the gospel empowers us. Let's take a different twist. The gospel also had a bunch of people who were from all over the place, and they came bringing this guy who has a speech impediment and was deaf, showing us that there are lots of things in the world. We are inundated with lots of stuff that we have to deal with, political issues, social issues, whatever not, and it becomes daunting, or it can become kind of distracting to us. The gospel message teaches us something very different. As the first reading tells us, where God sees a parched land, or where we see a parched land, God sees a spring of water. Where we see a barren wasteland, God brings forth life. There's places in the world that cause us great strife, but that's not the point of it. The point of it is that we focus on God and what He wants. We focus on His will and how it works out in the world, realizing that all these problems and chaos in the world, whatever they might be, will eventually go away. And they always have. If you look across human history, we've dealt with tons of terrible things. horrible things where huge swaths of people have died, great wars have been fought. We always made it through somehow. We'll do the same again, because God keeps making his will work out one way or another. So the gospel message teaches us one of peace. Peace in our lives, peace in the world. He came to bring that sense of peace. Everything's going to be all right. Focus on me, focus on what I want, and it will work itself out. But then we need to go down to a personal level. This is where the gospel really takes on a new form. And the one example I want to use is the guy from today's gospel, because he really does represent a lot of our sentiments. When we come before the Lord, often we don't know what to say. And here we have this guy who can't even speak. He has a speech impediment. He can't even hear the words of Jesus. He's deaf. He's like the epitome of what most of us kind of encounter. What do? I have all these things in my life. I have all these things that are causing me trouble. What do I do? And the answer is very simple. Bring them to Jesus. Bring him all the cares and concerns. He knows them already. It's not like it's going to be a surprise to him. Oh, you're dealing with that? I didn't know. No, that's not how God is. He knows what we're dealing with. Bring it to him. Because then something profound happens. And today's gospel is just very, very strange. Strange even in the context of the gospels. Because Jesus takes this guy who has a speech impediment and is deaf, pulls him aside from the rest of the group, sticks his finger in his ear, touches his tongue, spits on the ground, and the word in English is groan. That's really unfortunate. It's a much weirder word in Greek that only occurs once in all the New Testament. It's like to sigh really loudly or to like bray like an animal or to like howl. It's like his exasperation of sound that comes out of him. I don't know how to describe it. Even my Greek dictionaries can't help me. It's a very weird word, and that he's like groaning from the emanating of his being. I don't know what to do with it. Figure it out. I gave you ideas. But anyways, he has this weird expression of like utter pain that comes out of him. And then the man's speech impediment is gone and he can hear again. I don't know. Do with what you want with it. One of the thoughts I have is that maybe this was the only way they'd understand it. Since he couldn't speak like the others and say, be healed, he had to do something else. Maybe these weird people that are east of the Jordan thought he was a magician. He's like, I'll show you I'm not a magician. Watch what I'm doing. We can play with it all we want, but the truth of the message is this. They understood it. They got it. Because the next line was, he has done all things well. He makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. A direct quotation from the prophecy of Isaiah of who the Messiah would be. They not only saw the miracle, but they connected it with Jesus being the Messiah. This is what happens to us too when we bring our cares and concerns before the Lord. He shows us his healing presence. He lets the parched places in our life flow with water. He lets the barren places in our life be lush with green grass again. This is the mystery of Jesus coming to us. This is the mystery of the gospel proclamation. And yet here we are too. We have to remember this. God came to bring peace, so that all of our divisiveness makes no sense anymore. The only divisions we need are the ones that God makes to bring people to salvation. He also encounters all people, that we may all bring people and all the concerns of the world before him, knowing he's got this. And more importantly, we bring ourselves, desiring more than anything else to be touched by the message of the gospel, to let it permeate into our lives and bring us that new life, that new energy, to feel the vitality that comes through what Jesus did, that he suffered and died for us, that we may have new life.